My name is Brad, and I'm the lead pastor here at Hillside Church, and I want to thank you for listening to one of our messages from Hillside Church. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly all through the pages of Scripture is still speaking today. So if it's me speaking or if it's someone else, we pray that the message you are about to hear would allow you to know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power. Enjoy the message. Want to follow along today. We're going to primarily be looking at Matthew chapter 4, but my message is going to end up in Philippians chapter 4. So if you want to the primary part, or if you want to just catch the conclusion at the end, that's where we're going to be. Today for our time together, I really think that God wants to show us something. To show us something that God wants to do in our lives, in your life specifically, and in our church. You see, I think God has something He really wants to do in us. And I believe that prophetically, God wants to work in us today. And how He wants to work in us today, right now in this season, is what I believe that God wants to do today, is that I believe God wants to shine a light on the plans of the enemy. That what God wants to do in your life today is to perhaps shine a light into your heart and into your life, and maybe expose some areas in our lives where the enemy is working hard, that we may not see, that we may not have been aware of, that we may in fact actually have been somewhat comfortable with. But that I want to show you today something that I believe God's laid on my heart to show us what's taking place. This wasn't the sermon I had planned on preaching today. My sermon planning schedule has me preaching on tithing today. But we're not going to do that. And in fact, next week we were supposed to start our sermon series on Easter, but we're not going to do that either. Next week I'm going to have a second part of this that sort of, I'm going to sort of present the problem and give you the overarching solution, and then next week we're going to dig deep into the meat of the solution. I'd say the actual solution, but it's not like I'm tricking you today. But God wants to show us something today, wants to show you something today about how to overcome the thoughts, the patterns, the difficulties that we're facing right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a story in the life of Jesus, and we're going to see how it relates to the place we find ourselves now. I want to talk today about how we feel, how we respond, how we are responding, what's going on in our hearts and our lives in this season in our lives. But more than that, it's a message about what God wants to do in us and how He wants to do this work in us. And my prayer for us today is that when we're done today, you'll have like a breath of fresh air breathed into you. That you will have hope, that you'll have an expectancy of what God wants to do in your life. See, what I really want to talk about today, and it's going to be a theme that kind of runs through a lot that we're going to talk about today, but I want to talk to us a moment about COVID and how we're feeling and how it's taken its toll on us and how the enemy is using it to take an even greater toll on us when we're not careful to keep our eyes open to what he's doing. And so I want to talk to us about our minds and our hearts and a spiritual battle that every single one of us are involved in, and how God can show us and lead us and give us victory. And so we come to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is on the edge of his public ministry. We've sort of read through the genealogies and the story of Jesus when he's little. Then at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is baptized. And then, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, we see this weird interlude that takes place in the life of Jesus after he's baptized, but before he really begins into public ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says this: "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, it's interesting to think and to note, just as a little aside here, that the idea the temptation of Jesus was the reason he went into the desert. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It wasn't going to be a surprise for Jesus what was about to take place. Sometimes, for those of us familiar with this story, we can think that maybe Jesus went to fast, and while he was fasting, the temptation happened. While he was fasting, something just happened that he wasn't ready for or wasn't prepared for. But according to Matthew, Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness where this temptation was going to happen. And presumably to deal with this temptation as a response to the temptation of what's going on, Jesus decided that he was going to need to fast. And boy, did he. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, of all the spiritual disciplines, easily the one that I want to do the least is fast. It holds literally no appeal to me whatsoever. There is no part of me that is, you know, this is a good idea. It's a discipline. I should really lean in. It's a struggle. But because of that, I've worked hard to add fasting into my routine as best as I can manage. And so I fast every single Sunday. From the moment I wake up, Sundays are a day that I fast. At least until I get home from church. Now, it's important to note that fasting isn't just skipping meals. Because it's easy for me to, in hindsight, say, hey, guess what? I fasted lunch today. I didn't know I was going to do it, but I didn't eat it today. Or I didn't have breakfast. But it's not just simply, well, I didn't have breakfast, and so I guess I fasted. Fasting is absolutely not just simply not eating, because many of us skip meals at different points throughout the day. Fasting is making a conscious choice to do a physical thing by not doing a physical thing to represent a spiritual principle. You see, Jesus will say, and we're going to see where he says it this morning, where he quotes a passage from the Old Testament where he will say that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so for me, when I fast on a Sunday morning, it's me saying that I'm going to need God to work. That when I come to church, I'm not going to feel all like revved up and full of energy because I had a great big breakfast and all kinds of things and I'm ready to do this. It's me saying, God, you're going to have to do this. I'm going to not just rely on you, but I'm going to put myself in a place where I have to rely on you. But Jesus goes into the wilderness. And Jesus goes way bigger than Sundays. It says that he goes 40 days. Now, one thing that's important or can sometimes be true is that the Bible can be a very complicated book to read and to understand. That there are passages that we read them and there's all kinds of words and different things. I have no idea what that means. But here, not so much. What we see is that Jesus doesn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he's hungry. No doubt is he hungry. And it's at this moment where Jesus is in these throes of hunger that the thing that perhaps he's been preparing for, the thing that he knew was coming, begins to take place. And we have the temptations of Jesus. And so, because he knew Jesus was hungry, without any doubt, you don't need any spiritual insight to be able to discern that. You don't need the wisdom of God the Father to be able to discern whether or not Jesus' physical state. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. The man is hungry. And so the first temptation is the devil says to him, turn these stones into bread. He says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. See, the temptation that I think Satan was trying to use on Jesus was to show Jesus what he would have. Jesus would be able to eat again. Nobody was stopping him. no reason not to. You want it, you need it, you could do it, you can make it happen. This could be what you have right now. This could be what your life looks like right now. And that's what Satan does with us. Right now, in our lives, one of the most powerful weapons that the enemy uses against us in messing with us right now is to remind us, is to show us, this is what your life would have looked like if things were different. If only things were different. If only it wasn't like this. Imagine what you would have. And it takes such a toll on us as we long for what could have been. What Christmas would have been if things were different. What my birthday would have looked like if things were different. What my kids' birthdays would have looked like if things were different. What last Tuesday would have looked like if only things were different. And our hearts ache, and our mental health and our spiritual health suffer deeply because of what we've missed out on, what would have been. And the devil says to Jesus, you would have all of this. This would be your experience. And to make it real right now, all you got to do is do something that's easy for you. Just turn these stones into bread. But Jesus replies, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4, but it's really Jesus quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. So Satan's first plan for Jesus fails. So he attacks Jesus from a different angle. And this is exactly what Satan does to you. This is what he does to us. Sometimes we think of our interaction and we think of a spiritual battle as sort of, this, I am fighting this battle right now, and if when this one comes to an end, I'll have victory. But that's not always how it goes. That sometimes it's just simply a change in course for the enemy. If he can't get you that way, he's going to try and get you this other way. So the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem, and he dares him to throw himself off. Satan decided that the two can play the scripture game. So he quotes Psalm 91, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That's Matthew 4:6. The devil quoting Psalm 91. Yes, Satan knows the Bible too, and he can use it as a weapon against you. But he wants to tempt Jesus to prove he's truly God's son by trying to force God to show evidence of his love and care. Satan tries to show Jesus what should be. You know, this is what really should be happening in your life right now. This is the way that things should be. You should be able to jump off the roof of this building and be fine. I mean, God promised it in the Bible. I can quote you the chapter and verse. This is the way that things should be. And for many of us, this is a way that the devil has found a way into our thoughts, our hearts, that can wreck us. As we live and we dwell on, this is what should be. This is what should happen. The government, the church, people, restaurants, whatever, this is what they should do. And we end up living inside our own heads and what we believe that that people, someone, somewhere, something should do. And it ends up hurting us, hurting our mental health, our relationships, and our spiritual walk, because what's happening isn't what we think should happen. But Jesus stayed on point and simply answered, do not put your Lord, your God to the test. It's Matthew 4:7, and he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. So that doesn't work either. So Satan tried another way of burrowing his way into Jesus' thinking. And again, this is exactly what Satan does to us. And he brings Jesus to a tall mountain and he shows him the kingdoms of this world and offered to give it all to him if Jesus would just bow down and worship him. Verse 9 says, and all of this I will give you, he said, if you will just bow down and worship me. Last The enemy tries to tempt Jesus by showing him what could be should Jesus choose not to walk the path that God has for him. Just get rid of all of this and just take what would be if you just rejected all of the journey you need to take. We can jump to the final square now. We can do all. You know that all of this isn't going to be worth it. All of this doesn't have to be what happens. Let's just jump to the end now. And I think the temptation for us that the devil gives to us, for some of us, is that if he can't get us the other ways, it's to get us to simply live our lives looking towards the day when COVID is over. And for us in this season, what I think this looks like is putting our whole lives, our connections, our everything on hold. That nothing matters. Nothing is important. Because one day, you could have all of this. But something that's important for us to understand is that God isn't muted by COVID. Your life and your purpose, God's plan for your life, your joy, your fulfillment, your walk in the Lord, they're not all paused because of this pandemic. Last week, I had read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, run with endurance the race marked out for you. What that verse tells us is that the course, the plan, the race route that we're on, it's been already marked out. That we didn't come to this bend in our race without it already having been marked out. And so God has something for you in this season. So when we started out saying, do you believe that God can speak to you? Do you believe that God can minister to you right now? Because God wants to speak to us and minister to us. But we can have this temptation in our lives to just say, well, once I get my vaccine and once we can meet in church again and once we can do all the things in life, then things will be fine. But God wants to work in us today. Scripture will tell us, will say that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the devil comes to him and says, look, we can do that right now. I'll give you all of this stuff if you just forget about all the stuff you're here to do. Don't die for their sins. Don't bring salvation. Just worship me and I'll give you everything you want. Live for now, for what, not for what will be someday. Just jump the queue and get ahead of it. But Jesus has now had enough and he commanded him saying, away from me, Satan. Then he quoted Deuteronomy 6:13, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit and make something clear before we move on. The emotions connected to all the things that we've talked about this morning, the would, should, and could, they're not bad. It's good and right and important for us to mourn the things we've lost. Because we have lost. To see what would have been and for our hearts to hurt. There is no reason, and it's certainly not a sin, to have opinions and thoughts on what should be done. You're smart. You can have opinions. It's okay to not like a rule, a restriction, or a guideline. It's okay that they don't make sense to you. And of course, it's not wrong to live with hope of what could be one day. But what I think that God wants to show us today is not that we shouldn't or that we can't possibly have these emotions or thoughts. But what God wants you to know today for your life and in your situation, is that all of these emotions, the enemy has a plan to weaponize them against you, to exploit you, to manipulate you, to use all of the common collective experience that 1 year of this has given us, and to do everything in his power to bring you down. Whether it's the emotion of mourning what we've lost, and the enemy finding ground to push you into depression because of what could have been. Or it's having a strong sense of this is what I believe should happen. and the enemy pushing you to getting angry and militant about what should be done, or to cause you to look at what will be true someday, but to push us so far that we become detached and retreat from life now. To push us over the edge, to take what is a genuine, natural, healthy human emotion and human response to what's going on, but to push us so far into where we find ourselves that they become unhealthy for us. And so I believe this morning what God wants to do is to shine a light on what the devil's doing. He wants to shine a light in my life and into your life to expose him and his plan for you and what you're going through. God wants us to be aware of what the enemy is doing and trying to do to destroy you mentally and spiritually in this season, to weaponize our thoughts and our emotions and to cause us to slip over the edge. Because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. You might think that as I'm saying this, I'm being an overly dramatic preacher using hyperbole to get your attention. But it's not an exaggeration. Our lives follow the direction of our thoughts. The better we grasp this truth, the better equipped we'll be to change the trajectory of our lives and our emotions. But you don't have to take my word for it. Both the Bible and modern science provide evidence that this is true. In recent years, an entire discipline of modern psychology has developed called cognitive behavioral therapy. And this understanding reveals that many problems, from eating disorders to relational challenges, addictions, and even some forms of depression and anxiety, are rooted in faulty negative patterns of thinking. And treating those problems begin with changing the way we think. But more than that, the wisdom of man, Scripture shows us this. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and this is where we're going to end our time together today, it says this. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." In these sentences, Paul shows us the journey that our thoughts take us on. That we have thoughts which lead to action, which lead to experience. Through it, he says, think about such things. And then that leads us to action. Put into practice. Which ultimately leads us to an experience that the God of peace will be with you. That if we think on these things, all the things that Paul said, noble and right and true and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, when our thoughts are there and we put those thoughts into practice, we will discover that the result of that is the peace of God. But this is the exact same journey that the enemy wants to take you on. It's no less true for God than it is for the enemy. This is the exact same plan that the enemy has for you. He wants your thoughts to be bad. He wants them to be poisoned. He wants them to be a weapon against you, so that the actions we take are formed not from what is good and right and noble and praiseworthy and all of those things, but they come from a negative place, which leads to negative actions, which leads to a negative experience. What science is demonstrating today and is what God told us through Solomon almost 3,000 years ago. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's Proverbs 23, verse 7. So if both the Bible and modern science teach us that our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts, then we need to ask ourselves this. Do I like the direction my thoughts are taking me? If your answer is no, then maybe it's time to change your thinking. Maybe it's time to change your mind so that God can change your life. This is why we're doing the 21 Days of Gratitude starting next week. And I really want to encourage you to take this journey with us, because we need to see something different. We need to have our minds focused on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And as we journey down this road together, the promise that we have is at the end, we will discover God's peace together. That's the promise that Paul makes. It's the promise that God gives. That when you do this, you will find peace. And peace is what we need right now. God wanted us today to see what the enemy is doing, but then for us to understand how we can get around the enemy's plans. 2 Corinthians will tell us to take every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ. With God's help, you can transform where you find your mind these days. You can stop the enemy from weaponizing our thoughts and our emotions. And you can end the vicious cycle of thoughts that can become destructive to you and to others. You can allow God to renew your mind by saturating you with His unchanging truth. When all
I see is the battle. Thanks for listening to this message from Hillside Church. I pray that you were blessed by what God had to say in this message. If you would like to connect further with Hillside Church, there are a couple places you can go. HillsideAirdrie.ca is our website, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hillside Airdrie. You can also look us up on YouTube and find all of our messages on Apple Podcasts. If you would like to connect to the pastoral team at Hillside, you can do that through our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, and click on About Us in the main menu, and then click on Our Pastors. We're so thankful to be able to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Hillside Church, we are a family, not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And that family includes you. As family, we go. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God.